Okay, let's get our Bibles out. And this is clearly Palm Sunday. I know that it's Palm Sunday. I don't need to remind that it's Palm Sunday. But I'm not going to bring a message on Palm Sunday that you have heard so many times before. And so we're going to continue in our lesson in discipleship. But it does go hand in hand. It does go hand in hand, one with the other. Well, I've been telling you about discipleship. Anybody still want to be a disciple? Who wants to be a disciple? Are we growing in the Lord? We're growing, right? We're growing in the Lord. It's a fascinating thing that, and I want to keep on making reference to what we learned on our time at the Billy Graham Training Institute, but you weren't there, and I want to be able to teach you what they've taught me. Anybody want to hear some stuff they taught us? It was great. And the whole session was bringing Christ to a fallen world. That's what it was about. And some of the things that they taught us there. And this is from Jim Cimbala and also from Will Graham. Will Graham brought a message to us, a teaching on us, is bringing Christ to people when you don't feel like doing it. Wow. Ministering to others when you don't feel like doing it. How many times just don't feel like doing it? You're too tired. You're too sick. You're too busy, right? Don't we all, who all feels that way sometimes? You say, you know what? I just... You know, he said the worst thing, this is Will Graham, the worst thing that he's ever done is to put persons' names in his cell phone. Think that through. The worst thing he's ever done in his ministry, taught to him by his dad, Franklin Graham, the worst thing a pastor can do is to program their cell phone so that when the phone rings, you know who it is. Isn't that weird? Why do you think that's so? Because you can choose to what? Answer it or not. Will Graham said he was taught that by Franklin Graham because one day he saw the phone ring and he said, oh, not again. Not again. The person calls me all the time. Not again. And he let the phone get the message. And he would call the person back when he got around to it. Well, he didn't get around to it until the following day. Called the person back and found out the person needed prayer because he was going in for heart surgery. Emergency. That day. Do you ever have to minister to somebody when you don't feel like it? Just tired? You're too weary? What gives you the strength? What gives you the strength to be able to do that? And it's interesting that when we were down there, Sissy and I, and we were being taught by Jim Cimbala and Will Graham, the big name that kept coming up is the Holy Spirit. Right, Sissy? The Holy Spirit. And that's the third thing that you get when you're a disciple. And we're going to talk about that today. The first gift that you get by being a disciple is whom? God the Father. The second gift that you get by being a disciple is whom? Jesus Christ, the Son, your Lord, your Savior, your High Priest. The third gift that you get for being a disciple is what?
The Holy Spirit.
And if I was to ask people in any church in any town, who's the Holy Spirit? What answers would I get? Now, God the Father is a pretty easy one, right? God the Father, you know, who's God? He's the... Or he's the big creator. Who's Jesus? He's the Son of God. And then we might be able to add, he's the what? Savior. Now, if I was to ask anybody in any town, in any pew, in any church, and who is the Holy Spirit, what would I hear? The third person of the Trinity. That's what we'd hear, right? He's the third person of the Trinity. And then I'd say to many people in church, and what else? They'd go, he's the Holy Ghost. What would you say?
He's here with us.
What's that?
He's here with us.
Mary said, he's here with us. That's true. He's the counselor. Who said that? He's the counselor. Lori said he's a counselor. He is the counselor. What else is he? What's that?
He's my Savior.
He's my Savior. Okay, what else? Comfort. Who said that? Comforter, right? He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. Right? He's those things. What's that?
Convictor.
Convictor. Whoa. See, Michael gets convicted. I can understand why, Mike. Who else gets convicted? Woo, woo, woo. Well, he convicts you all the time, right? Now, in the days before Jesus came, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament times, pre-Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelt among man. He dwelt among him. He walked with him. The Holy Spirit dwelt among man. And then something happened on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, what? Came down. And Jesus said, I must go so that my Father will what? Send to you the Holy Spirit. Now something had to happen before Pentecost. This is Bible trivia 101. What had to happen? And in order to get the answer right, you got to get it all right. Something had to happen before the Holy Spirit came down. What was it? And there's components to it. What had to happen?
Death.
Jesus Christ had to. So he was crucified.
Dead.
What? Resurrected.
And came back.
He came back?
And he ascended to the Father.
What's that?
He ascended.
He ascended. Woo, 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 woo. There's three parts, right? Everybody forgets the third part. The Holy Spirit could not come down until Jesus what? Went up. So Jesus Christ was crucified, died and was buried. On the third day, he what? Rose again, walked around. Everybody saw him, and then he what? Ascended. Ascended. And then Bobby added, and the fourth one would be what? Coming back. But these three things had to happen. Crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And when Jesus Christ went up, the Holy Spirit what? Came down. And the Holy Spirit no longer walks among man. He lives in man. Let me find that a great comfort. To know that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. How many's really gift? How many say, boy, that's a great gift, right? That's a great gift to have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And everywhere I go, there he is. Oh, praise the Lord and hallelujah. You sure? Let's repeat that. You see, the gift of the Holy Spirit came down, and everyone that accepts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes down and resides in man. And no matter where you go, guess what, Lori? He's going to. What a gift! What a blessing! Right? Unless, of course, you're doing something you shouldn't do. See, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And he's in you to stay. Let me give an example. This is for the men. That's the kind of guy I am. Oh, I'm one of them bold kind of guys. So you're home, right? And nobody's home with you. Just little old you. Your wife is gone. The kids are gone. It's just little old you. And IBM. Dial on the computer. Nobody's home but you. Dial on to your favorite site or sites. And nobody's home but you. Woo! Wow, look at that. Hey, Jesus, check it out. Ooh, I offended you that time, didn't I? Guess what? He sees it any old how. Guess why? Because he is in you. So you know when you don't think anybody knows? Hey, Jesus, check it out. Because be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. How many know that song? How many know it's true? Hey, check it out. Go to your bar, right? And you're standing at the bar, pounding around with your buddies. Hey, give me one and give Jesus one too. What you drinking, Jesus? Guess why? Is he there?
Yes.
Or he stay outside? Did Jesus stay outside? Where's he at, Bobby? He's with you. And when's he leaving you, Mike? He ain't. No. Hey, how about what? Women, this is an equal opportunity service kind of guy I am. Get on the phone and start gossiping about another girl. Did you hear about Becky? Wait a second. Jesus, did you hear? Guess why? He's there too. Hey, check it out. April 15th is a big day. How many know April 15th is a big day? It's a big day, right? And you're doing your taxes, right? And you get down and say, deductions. Itemized. And you get to some sections. And you kind of know the flags of what the IRS will audit you about. And you know the maximum deductions before they call you. And you start going through the lines and you're going, charitable deductions. I think I could get away with. How much is that, Jesus, I can get away with? Because guess what? He knows. How many love that again? They love taking him with you everywhere you go. Do you really? Well, see, you like him every time you need him. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you're with me on my days of suffering. Thank you, Lord, you're with me on my days of trials and persecutions. But hanging out with me at the bar, not so keen on that part. Hanging out with me when I'm talking about somebody behind the back, not so keen on that part. How many got the Holy Spirit living inside you? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. How many got the Holy Spirit living in them again? For the Father up above is looking down with love. How many got the Holy Spirit in them again? And what a blessing that is, huh? Isn't that a great blessing? Sure. It's a great blessing. I think I told you before, if we were going to have a fundraiser and we were going to sell t-shirts. I think I told you that example once before, didn't I? Go sell t-shirts. Really cool. Really cool. We're going to help that family down in McKeesport, Lori, because they need some money. And so we're going to sell some t-shirts. Sell some t-shirts. And they're only going to cost you five, because I'm a very inexpensive fundraiser, $5. And you can get two for how much? Way to go. Four for how much? Just checking on you, Mike. Just checking on you. And everybody says, hey, I want to buy a t-shirt. And I say, great. Who'd buy a t-shirt for $5 off me to help that family in McKeesport? Will you do that? Clem, will you do that, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Who don't buy a t-shirt? Come on, let me see. Everybody buy a t-shirt. You buy a t-shirt, right? Cool. And I forgot to tell you what's on the back of it. I probably should have told you that first. And here's the deal. In order for you to participate in the fundraiser to help that family down in McKeesport, you have to wear the shirt for 30 days. And you get to clean it. I don't want you to fall, but it'd be so stinky. Clean it. Wash it. Go to bed. Put it in the washer. Put it in the dryer. Get up in the morning and do what? Yo, put it on. Everybody got the idea? 30 days. Everywhere you go. From the time you get up and brush your little teethies, the time you take your teeth out, if you have to do that, and put them in. Oh, I don't know. I'm just checking. Put them on a nightstand, Char. Put them on a nightstand. I'm just saying, whoever. You got to put the shirt on, Clyde. And on the back of the shirt, in really bold, fluorescent orange, can't mistake it, is your name. In block letters, they can see it a half a mile away. And underneath your name that's in bold fluorescent is a paragraph, kind of like on the back of trucks. It says, if you don't like how I'm living my life, call my pastor. And my phone number is on the bottom in bold numbers. Pretty good, huh? And you got to wear that shirt everywhere you go for 30 days. How many want two? Only $5. How many are really thinking, you know, I might not be too keen on that whole idea, Pastor? Woo! You mean about Eric, right? Oh, just for you. Yoshiko said, that's a lot of phone calls for you, Pastor. Well, the good news is I won't have any of them on my caller ID. I'll answer every one of them. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I don't think so. Everywhere I go? Like even to work? Uh-huh. To the store? Uh-huh. And if you're saying to yourself, no way, then I got something to tell you, then take the Jesus shirt off. Because if you're not living a life that's worthy of the name your mama gave you, you sure ain't worthy of the one Jesus gave you. And until you can live a life that you can go no matter where you go, and you're going to walk and talk Jesus Christ, not by the shirt that's on your body, but how you live your life by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you're not worthy of the name your mother gave you, take his shirt off. And never wear it again until you're worthy of the name your mother gave you. You want me to tell you why? Because who gives Christians a bad name? Christians or atheists? Who gives a church a bad name? Unchurched or churched? Guess who's giving Jesus a bad name?
Us.
It's us. And the only way that we can live a life according to his word is we need some help. How many need some help? I need a lot of help. I really, truly do. Ask Sissy. She'll tell you. Sissy, do I need a lot of help?
Yes, she
does. See? You didn't even hesitate. You want to think about it? You want to think about it a little bit?
No.
Who needs a lot of help? And the helper is who?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's it. You by yourself, you can do what? Nothing. Turn in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are?
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that you are going to tell me that God is everywhere. And true that he is. And some of you might even be able to quote that big name, that theological term for everywhere, which is what? Omnipresent. And that sounds like we really know a lot of stuff when you throw them big words out. That's the 50 centers. Omnipresent. What's that mean, principal? He's with everywhere. Everywhere. But let me ask you a question. Around 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 a.m. this morning, this building was it a church? Well, we got some no's. Not a church. It's a what? So what kind of building is it? Recreational building, right? Cool. I know that you knew that. Let's say at 10 o'clock, is this building a church?
Yes, no.
Oh, I got some yeses, I got some no's.
Yes, no.
I got some yeses, I got some no's. Ooh, good, this is good. Yes? Let's take a vote. Let's be democratic, okay? Now, see, you're not going to want to vote because you're going to think, what if I vote wrong and people are going to know I'm wrong? I know how this works because you're going to want, I'll wait and see. Okay, on the count of three, right? All of those who say, yes, it's a church, I want you to raise your right hand. All who say, it's not a church, you raise your left hand, okay? Don't think it through. I didn't say three. Put your hands down. You don't follow directions. One, two, three. Who's got their right hand up? It's not a church.
I thought it was a church when we got here.
Nope. We're the church.
So we're here. The church.
Nope, we're a church. If we go outside in the parking lot... The building is never being a church. The building is never a church. It's the people who are the church. The church gathers inside of a building. How many understand that? Now, where does... Big question. This is going to be good. Okay, you're going to get this right? No, you're going to get this right. Where does the church go at 12 o'clock?
Out the door.
But where does the church go? Karen, where's the church going? No. Karen. Where's the church going after 12 o'clock?
Where are we
going? Where are you going? There you go. The church is going with you. And tomorrow when you go to work, where's the church?
At work.
At work.
Okay, so if church can be work, why can't this? I mean, if work could be church, why can't this be church if we're here?
Do you want it to be the church?
Once we come into it, and don't we? It's like bringing the worship. Don't we bring the church?
We do bring the church, but the church is the people. The church is not the building. It's a matter of semantics. But how many know the people are the church, right? Right. Just where the church is where the church is. But the church is not a structure. The church is the people, right? And can we bring the church to somebody?
Yes.
How often?
Every day.
Every day. Can you have church at lunchtime where you work?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you have to wait till Sunday morning?
No.
Absolutely not. Because the Holy Spirit what? Lives in you. Turn in your Bibles, please. Karen, this building's a church.
Good, thanks. I appreciate it.
Is this being recorded? Karen is right. And I am wrong. Karen said this building is a church, and it is a church.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Amen.
Edit that, Bob. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and we are going to add to it 7.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. All the temples, raise your hands. You see, a lot of people believe, where's my Catholic girls? Sissy was Catholic. Karen. Okay. Kathy. Mary and Sue, good Catholic sisters. Two Catholic sisters. Okay, now, I don't want to offend anybody because that's just not who I am. But if I do, you'll get over it. I would be willing to bet that most of my Roman Catholic girls and guys would think that the church, the sanctuary, is holy. And I would be willing to bet that many people would think that the church building is sacred. Fact is, when I was young, like 5 years ago, you could leave a church open. How many remember when church doors were open? Pastor Ed, you've been a policeman a long time. Were the doors of churches open? Way long time ago, right? And you know the church was open to what? Go in and pray. You could do that. Nobody would take anything from the church because the church was what?
Sacred.
That's the way that we were raised, right? How many agree with that? Especially my Roman Catholic friends. Wasn't the church sacred?
Well, Christ was there.
What's that?
He was there on the altar.
God was present, right? Right. And you go in holy water and stuff like that. You go and pray, right? That's the way that it was. But I want, at the risk of offending anybody, which I'm not really keen on doing, there's no building that's holy unless God is in it. This is going to floor you. Guess who is holy? Who said that? We are. Because it says the temple is holy and you are the temple. So let me run that by you. When you sit there and you think to yourself, I'm too old, I'm too short, I'm too... Oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that, I know. Oops. I didn't get to finish it. You're too old, you're too young, you're too tall, you're too short, you're too wide, you're too thin. Guess what? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and no matter where you go, God is going with you. Now, we need to talk about this. How important was it in the good old days to take care of the church building? Whew. I mean, I know people down the street where we used to worship, they have a special day down there, and it should be like right about now before Easter comes, and man, oh man, we're going to get the polish out, and we're going to polish all the pews, right? And we're going to sweep the floors, and we're going to clean the windows. We're going to make sure the lamps are clean and sparkly. We're going to mop the floor. We're going to trim the hedges. We're going to polish the brass and make sure the building is good. But what about the temple? What about the temple? We eat ourselves crazy. We drink ourselves till we're drunk. We take all kinds of pills and all kinds of goofiness. What are we doing with the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells? Right? How many know that's true? Hey, look, if I don't take care of myself and I'm stuck at home, guess who is not going anywhere, at least according to me? Guess who's not going anywhere? Well, you're not, Pastor Tom. No, the Holy Spirit's not going, because what's going on at the temple? I'm home. Lethargic. Not taking care of myself. How many understand that truism? I'm going to tell you why I don't drink. I'm going to tell you why. It's not that I'm a prohibitionist, because I'm not. How many know I'm not a prohibitionist? I'm not. If you want to have a glass of wine, have a glass of wine. Do I think Jesus drank wine? Yes, I think Jesus drank wine. Do I think he drank just grape juice? No, I do not. I believe that Jesus Christ drank wine. How many believe that too? Because that was the beverage at that time. Was it bad wine? I don't think so. Because Jesus Christ made what from water? Cheap wine? The best. The best. So do I believe the disciples drank wine? Yes. Do I think Jesus Christ was a drunkard? No. Scripture says, do not be a what? A drunkard. Do I think it's okay to have a glass of beer? Yes. Do I think it's okay to be a drunkard? No. How many see the difference? But why don't I drink? Here's why I don't drink. Let's just suppose that I'm watching the Steeler game with some of my buds. Buddies. And they say, hey, Pastor Tom, have a beer. I said, okay. Have another one. I said, okay. So I got two beers. The phone rings. Pastor Tom, somebody just had a heart attack. They need you right away down at United Presbyterian Hospital. What should I do? I can't come. Why? Get it? Well, I know you need me. And I know that your mom's dying, but I can't make it because I'm watching the Steeler game and I had a couple beers and I can't drive. Wait, I'll see if somebody can bring me down there. And somebody brings me down and I go, hey, how's it going? What do you think they'll be thinking? Good, happy thoughts? Or how is it? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I called him on the phone and he came down to pray for my mother and he's been drinking. You think they'd say that? All those who say yes, raise your hand. How many know that'd be all around the phone system before I get back home? It'd be all around Avalon Borough. Do you believe that Pastor Tom was drunk? I might not have been. But what happens to my testimony? That's why I do not drink at all. Because I'm on call for the Holy Spirit. How many hours a day? I'm there when he calls me. 24 hours a day. And that's not because you pay me. That's because he called me. How many understand that? Now the question you have to ask yourselves, if I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, how are you doing with taking care of the temple? Are you getting enough rest? Are you working out? Or are you lethargic? Or you just can't even get up and move sometimes? What's the deal with you and the temple? Now listen to me, church, and listen to me. And I'm going to stop because Bob's going to give you a high five here pretty soon. Check it out. Satan cannot stop the Holy Spirit from coming inside of me. He can't. But he can mess with me. You see, Satan's kind of got it figured out, Mickey. Here's what he got it figured out. You know, I can't stop the Holy Spirit from coming inside him, but I sure can stop him. And if he don't go, guess what, Lord? He ain't going. You see, if I can get that pastor to say, you know, all these years you haven't drank anything, and what's a beer going to stop you anyhow? Pastor, oh, go on out with your friends and have a beer. It's no big deal. And I go, how many of you know that's when that phone is going to ring? Yep. Is that true? That phone is going to ring. And then I'm going to have to go, oh, I'll call Pastor Ed. Pastor, call. Can you guys go for me? I can't go. I'm down Sunday gyms. You, Pastor Ed, Pastor, call. You guys know me. You know me. And Pastor Carl says, why can't you go? Oh. How many want to have that kind of conversation with one of the associate pastors? I don't have one of them to. And guess what? I know what the next elder meeting will be about. But I know who'll be on top of the agenda. How many know that's true? But guess who it's also true for? Isn't that cool, Clyde? Isn't that cool? Guess who else it's true for? All the full-time ministers, raise your hand. Ta-da!
Busted.
It's all of you. Isn't it? Because you are all the temple. Aren't you? And how are you doing taking care of the temple? Are you taking your medication when you're supposed to? Are you eating right? Are you getting enough rest? Are you staying up with stuff you need to do? Are you doing that? See, what you're thinking is, well, Pastor Tom, that's why we pay you all the big bucks. Wrong. Because if the Holy Spirit sends somebody to you, you take care of it. That's worth repeating. That's worth the whole Sunday sermon. Paul, Holy Spirit sends somebody to you, who's supposed to take care of it? You are. Pastor Ed? You are. Pastor Carl? Clyde? Mike? Karen? Shar? Christina? If the Holy Spirit sends somebody to you, yo, guess who's supposed to take care of it? You are. Don't smile and dial. You are, Lori. If God thinks enough about you to send a hurting child of His to you, you take care of it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words, Lord. And we know that we're all in a full-time ministry. We said that we were, and we are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we got to start taking better care of the temple. We got to understand that we're the temple. We're the temple. So Father God, it's incredibly difficult to even fathom that we're the temple. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. Even as I pray, the Holy Spirit is in us. Hard to comprehend. But He is. Lord, help us to take better care of the temple of God. And all of God's people said,